message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, dear friends. It is a joy to be able to share with you over this radio station the truths of God's Word as it pertains to those whom our Savior, Yeshua, described as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Our study over these past few weeks has been in the Old Testament book of Daniel, the theme of which is God's sovereign rule over the nations of the world. We are presently in a passage of Scripture that was written in the Aramaic language, and which has special meaning for those who are non-Jews. In chapter 8, Daniel reverts back to writing in the Hebrew language. As we open Daniel chapter 5, we enter upon the scene of the closing hours of the great empire built by the great King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had died on October the 7th in the year 562 B.C., 24 years after he had destroyed Israel's capital city, Jerusalem, and its magnificent temple. He died not as a pagan unbeliever, but with a good understanding of the position and person of Yahweh, the Most High God. The events of Daniel 5 took place under the reign of Nabonidus, who had become king in 556 B.C. Belshazzar, the one named king in verse 1, was ruling in Babylon as king in the place of his absent father. Verse 1 then speaks of co-regency. During a drinking orgy with 1,000 of his officials, Belshazzar commanded that the gold and silver vessels taken from the Jerusalem temple be brought to the banquet. The king's intention was that they be used as drinking vessels for himself and his officials. What is significant is that Belshazzar singled out the treasured vessels of the temple in Jerusalem. The reason for this can be ascertained from several factors in the historical background. 1. As a boy, Belshazzar grew up in the royal court of Nebuchadnezzar. He was possibly 14 years of age when the great king died. There is no doubt that he was old enough to understand something of God's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar, even as the prophet Daniel outlines in verse 22, "And thou, his son, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." There is every probability that Belshazzar knew about Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, and of the prophecy that the kingdom would fall to the Medes and Persians. Secondly, archaeological evidence now exists that shows the Medo-Persian troops under the leadership of King Cyrus to have already conquered the areas around the city of Babylon. This explains the presence of so many officials at the Babylonian court. They had fled there for safety before the advancing Medo-Persian army. Thirdly, it is also a well-documented fact that Nebuchadnezzar had made Babylon into an impregnable fortress as well as a beautiful city. The outer wall was so thick it could withstand the pounding of battering rams. There was also the presence of a second inner wall complete with fortress towers and ramparts. Belshazzar and his officials had every reason to believe they were safe, that their defenses were more than adequate, that the Medo-Persian attempt to capture the city was doomed to failure. At a point in the revelry of the evening, God intervened and called Belshazzar to account for his actions, A hand suddenly appeared and wrote on the wall in a language none understood until God's servant Daniel interpreted it. Belshazzar and Babylon had been weighed in the balances of divine justice and had come up short. Belshazzar had shown contempt for the witness of Jehovah as given by Nebuchadnezzar, who had declared him to be the most high God that ruled in the kingdom of men. He would have known that in opposition into the generally accepted beliefs connected with the worship of Marduk, Nebuchadnezzar had said, "Now I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and that those who walk in pride he is able to abase." He also showed contempt for the prophecies of Jehovah, who had foretold the end of Babylon at the hands of the Medes and Persians, the very army now encamped outside the city walls. He also showed contempt for the name and person of Jehovah by using the very instruments used for worship in the Jerusalem temple. In his night of revelry and debauchery, Belshazzar was thumbing his nose at the God of heaven. That Babylon was impregnable as far as direct assaults were concerned was a fact. But human ingenuity, and especially divine providence, opened a way. Some distance from the city, so as not to be unnoticed by the watchers on the walls, King Cyrus had his troops divert the flow of the river away from the city. On the night of the attack, the water was low enough for the invading troops to enter the city through the river bed. Before anyone realized it, the invading Medo-Persian army was in control of the city. That night, Belshazzar was killed. No matter how sophisticated a nation's defenses may be, when God calls it into judgment, it will fall. Two great lessons can be learned from this chapter. First, no one or anything can stop the onward march of God's plan for this world. True, some 2,500 years have come and gone since the days of Daniel, but during these years we have seen miraculous fulfillments of God's prophetic announcements, many of these in astoundingly great detail. Dr. John Walvoord, in his 1971 book on Daniel, writes, quote, "In many respects, contemporary civilization is much like ancient Babylon, resplendent with its monuments of architectural triumph, as secure as human hands and ingenuity could make it, and yet defenseless against the judgment of God at the proper hour. Contemporary civilization is similar to ancient Babylon in that it has much to foster human pride, but little to provide human security. Much as Babylon fell, so the world will be overtaken by disaster when the day of the Lord comes." End of quote. The events of September the 11th are but a hint of what can and will take place when God calls the world to give an account. Another important lesson to be learned is that of the judgment individual sinners will face. Two-thirds of the handwriting on the wall spoke of the judgment of the nation of Babylon. The other third was for Belshazzar himself. "Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting." Everyone will give an account before the throne of God. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." The only escape is to find forgiveness in Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul writes, "In whom, that is Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Shalom Aleichem, dear friends. May you know the marvelous gift of God through Yeshua, our Savior and Lord.